So this morning, I think it's been quite interesting that Peter's Psalm 103 and just what the scriptures were saying there was quite interesting because it ties in so well with what I feel I want to share with you this morning with reference to God, His love, us, our place in that, and how it all joins and interconnects, how that the plans that God has made are so, so perfect. And if we come into that perfection and link with it and abide in it, then, wow, watch out, because where the Lord wants to take us is special. It's like there's no end to it. It's like Peter said in that Psalm 103, it's like unfathomable the limits that God has and that He invites us to come in and partner with Him as the Father. So I want to start with you this morning with the burning for Jesus. What do I actually mean by burning for Jesus? Well, we all know about the burning bush, which was when God was in a bush and the bush was on fire but yet wasn't burning. So it was something you can't get your head around, because usually where there's fire, it destroys. But the Lord came because He wanted to captivate Moses. So He came and He set a bush on fire to gain the attention of Moses, because He wanted to speak to him. And so I believe that if we connect with the Lord to the point, we will then burn like Jesus. We will be like the burning bush to other people that we come into connection with. And I think this is significant this morning, that we get to learn and get encouraged and get pulled back in to loving Jesus with passion that sets us on fire for Him. Wasn't it Wesley that wrote something along the lines of, I would that I would be on fire, and that would people would come from all around to see me burn, so that he would get the message of Jesus, the love of Jesus, out and shed abroad. So I just think it's amazing. So I want to take us right back to start, right back in Exodus, and as if you know about the Ten Commandments, you'll know that the Ten Commandments point towards the Lord God. He doesn't want any idols. He says you're not to worship anybody else but Him. That reverts right back to the relationship in the garden that Adam and Eve had. So there was a relationship that was had with Adam and Eve in the garden, which God had made them both, and He wanted relationship with them. The whole purpose He created man and woman was that He could walk with them in the garden, He could be one with them, and they would know their Creator, and He would know them. So that was where it really all started. It was a desire for relationship with God, but the Bible also speaks that God had this all foreplanned even before we were born. So this is, when you unravel this and see the intenseness of it, it's actually wow. There's a wow factor in this message this morning of how vast and how big our God is. So back in the garden, He set the plan in motion. And then, of course, because of the snake and the serpent distracted Adam and Eve and they took of the tree, trust was broken. And as a result, they had to move outside of the garden. But there was a sacrifice made later. We'll talk about that, which actually rectified that and brought a way back to us as humans how we can say yes to God and connect with the Father who loves us with His abundant love. So the Ten Commandments was the first mention of, you know, love your God with all your heart, body, soul and mind. And so in Exodus 20 verse 6 it also says, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So the Lord has plans and purposes, and if we stay in His right ways, well then we get to live a full life, but we get to live the life that He desires, that He had planned even before you were birthed in your mother's womb. He had a purpose, He had a plan, and He had that in place for you. So He wants us to actually align with that and to come in and to be part of that, so that we get to walk out life as how our Creator designed it for us. Amen. There is a dream, there is a plan, there is a purpose. And Jeremiah 29 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." So God knows already the plans that he has for you. The problem we've got is sometimes we don't really connect with his plans. We think we can do our own thing. And we think with our mindset to, well, we can do this. We can go to Spain tomorrow. We can have 2 weeks holiday. You know, and we don't sometimes take thought of, is this the will of God? Is this what God would rather I did? Or has he something better? So it's like you want to actually always know, is this the right path, Lord, or is it not? Because if it's not, do I really want to go down that route? No. I'd rather be where God wants me to be. And if God wants me in Barcelona tomorrow, then praise God, I'm going. I'll be on a flight and I'll be there in Barcelona. Amen? Yes. Who's coming? So there's a few ready to roll with that one. So in John 14 and verse 15, this is Jesus now in the New Testament. He said here, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So again, right in the New Testament, Jesus is affirming what his Father had put in place back in the Old Testament in Exodus. So it is something that we get to step into and we get to walk out with the Father. So where did it begin? Like I said, it began with God's desire, his creation, his Adam and Eve that he formed from the very earth of the ground, and then he breathed life into them. He made, he created, not just the world, but he created the human race as well. So it began right back then, and so his heart burns for us, and why shouldn't our heart burn for God? If our heart is not burning for our God, then there is a relationship that's in lack, and we need to address that in our lives and bring it back into a right relationship with the Lord God Almighty. John 14 and verse 16 says, "God is love, and we are to abide in God's love." And if we do that, it says then that God abides in us. Yeah. Now, we have the Holy Spirit given to us as a gift from the Father when Jesus left to go to be with the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent to us as a gift to remain with us. And we'll look at that in a little minute. So the whole thing about this is you're to love your brother. We're to have no fear because it has no place in God's kingdom. So God's love was to fill all of the earth and us. God's love in the intensity that he, Jesus, loves God. Because when Jesus was on the earth, he loved his Father. His Father loved him. That's why he affirmed him in that open air in the baptism where John was baptizing him. The skies opened and the Father spoke clearly from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." And he affirmed the Son who was coming up out of the waters of baptism. So God and Jesus and Holy Spirit, they are one. They are God, but in three separate operations, three separate people. They are all persons of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. And so when we understand that, then this becomes a little bit more clear in our thinking, in our small minds. Because sometimes we find it hard to explain or hard to get around the fact that God is three people in one. And so it's not an easy thing, but it's something we believe in, something we accept, and something that we run with. Now, John 15, verse 9 says, "Just as the Father has loved me," that's referring to Jesus. So Jesus is saying, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you," speaking to us, his disciples. And then he says, "Abide in my love." So there is a design that God still has today, and Jesus was emphasizing again in the New Testament that we are to abide in the Father. We are to abide in his love because he loves to abide in us. So there's this interconnection that's going on in this whole thing. Now, the Bible also speaks that we are to produce fruit. Now, fruit proves that you have roots to supply the fruit. So you firstly have to have roots in the ground, abiding in Jesus, to allow you for that to the roots to gather what it needs to allow us to go out and produce fruit. And so if you're not rooted and founded in Jesus and in God, then your roots are not in a good place, and you need to bring them into the right place, get them re-fertilized. Sharon has been doing this whole bed in the back garden. She's been putting manure in. She's been putting all this stuff into the ground to bring nutrients that will help the plants grow, will help the cabbages grow. And you know, and she has a running battle with these white butterflies that keep coming to munch on her veg.
So
she calls them terrorists, but they're just little white fluffy butterflies.
Nope, they're terrorists.
So there's a plan. There's five expressions of the love that burns in God's heart for us. Number one, God's love for God. You know, he loves himself. God loves the Son, loves the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit loves the Son, loves the Father. It's all interconnected. They all love upon each other. They all watch out for each other, and they're all interconnected. Number two, God's love for his people. It's unfathomable, as Peter was saying this morning, the extent and the reach of God's love for us, his children here on the earth. And so we want to be part of that. Number three, our love for God reveals who we are. It reveals us. So if we love God, then it reveals something about us, about the character of God that's in us and in us for others. And that's in John 17 and 26. And then number four, our love for God as ourselves. So what do I mean by that? Well, the Bible says we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. If you don't love yourself, then how can you effectively love your neighbor? So you need to learn how to love yourself first. Then out of that love and the love for God, that will bring fruit that you'll be able to go love your neighbor as just as good as you love yourself. And number five, our love for others. And that's part of that. It's bringing out that if we love ourselves, then out of that will flow love for others. And we will want to connect with our neighbors and let them know this love that the Father has for us. John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. He sent his only Son who died. He was resurrected again to life. The sacrifice was made to repair what had gone wrong in the Garden of Eden with God, Adam and Eve. So Jesus was the pure and spotless Lamb. He was the sacrifice that gave of his life, came from his God position in heaven, lived as a man on earth, died as a man, but rose again on the third day, and salvation was released again, and the gift of God that is free was made available again. All that God asks of us is that we say yes, that we say yes in our heart, we surrender our lives to his rule, to his right ways, and that we acknowledge the fact that his Son paid a huge price for us to make this possible. Now, when Jesus went to be with the Father, this is how much the plan of God just loves us and just wants to burn us so much. So Jesus dies, goes to be seated at the right-hand side of the Father, and then Jesus, before he left, said that when I'm gone, we will send another one, the Comforter. We will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. Now, this is like Jesus was leaving, but he wasn't going to leave us alone. He wasn't going to leave us as orphans. So the Holy Spirit was brought into the scenario to come and dwell inside of us, to be our comfort, to be our source of knowledge, to receive from the Lord what he wants to impart to us, to receive the gifts from the Lord, and to walk out life with this dynamite source right inside of us. He was not leaving us. That's how much he loves us. He was going to put the Holy Spirit inside of us from now until eternity. Amen? So God is good. We didn't deserve it, because in Romans 5 and verse 10, it says, therefore, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we'd be saved by his life. So there was a point where we didn't deserve this free gift, but the Lord in his mercy made it possible, and we just have to say yes to him. Lock our focus into the reality of abiding and loving God. It changes you. It changes your personality. It draws us into a closer place of relationship with God. And if we begin to be like the one that we are made in His image, then we will ooze God and His love out of us wherever we go. So we are meant to be Christ-like, not self-like. True power only is birthed from intimacy, and that is our connection with the Father, mostly through just spending time with Him. In that Matthew 6:6, you know, coming aside and being in the secret place, shutting everything else down, having time with Him, talking with Him, praying with Him. Praying and talking are the same thing. It's communication with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we got to cultivate that love of God inside of us, and birth that intimacy, birth that passion, and birth the fire of God inside of us. If you don't have the fire of God inside of you, then you're not pursuing the Lord. I'm not saying this out of condemnation, but I'm saying it to encourage you what is available freely at your fingertips if we press in for what God has given us. And it's been freely given, so we want it. I want it. I know you guys want it, because it changes you. It marks you. And you can have the potential to become like the burning bush and impact other people by being on fire for God, so others around you see it and are drawn to it. Because either they're curious or they're just drawn to the presence of God around you. But no matter what way they come, they're going to be affected by what you carry and how you impact their lives. Connection to God first is key. This means intimacy with the Father. This also means intimacy with the Son. And this also means intimacy with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-way program. It is designed that we connect with all three parts of the Godhead. And so we form this whole relationship with the three that love us dearly, love us and abound, and love being with us and around us. Because He created us. He designed the plans that He has for us, and the designer always wants to be around to make sure the design goes well and accomplishes what it was designed to accomplish. So it's a win-win for us, folks. We just can't help but being, as long as we choose His ways, to being around Him and see what He does. All of the Godhead is for our benefit, and also His benefit from us. So He's there for our benefit, but He actually gets benefit and delight by seeing us activated and operating as sons and daughters of the living God. That brings pleasure to the Father. And so it just turns His gaze towards us and excites His heart. Yes, God does get excited, and we should get excited like Him. So, trust. I said that trust was broken in the garden when the relationship went south between Adam and Eve and God. Trust. If you trust someone, they will have benefits. Because when you trust someone, they get let into your circle. They become close to you. You partner with them. You love to see them. You love to do life with them. And that happens because you trust them. And you've made your heart open to them and welcomed them in. And that's like God. We need to be open-hearted with our God and allow Him in, because He certainly trusts us. And we'll see this a little bit later as well in this message. If you've got no trust in someone, there is no benefits. There's no benefits for you because you don't trust the person, and there's no benefits for them. That brings a wall down and it separates you from the other person. That's not totally God's design. But the Lord wants us to love our neighbor as ourself. So loving God is to know Him. So if you don't know Him, well then you're not really loving Him, and you're losing out because you're not experiencing His great love for you. Salvation is not a key to escape hell. That's not the design that God desired it for be. It's not this golden ticket that gets you out of this life and into the next life. And it's a get out of card. Get out of jail card for free. That's not the design. This is about love, folks. It's not about, somebody at the door. So it's about love. It's not about getting out of jail free. That was never the purpose that his son bore. It was out of love. The Father loved us right from the very beginning, right from Adam and Eve. He has always loved. God is love. But he desires that we enter into his love and to learn from him, be trained by him, interact with him, mostly interact with him, because he loves our interaction with him. He is not hidden up in the clouds. He is available 24/7. He's available to Gordon Vale in Northern Ireland. He's available to friends of ours in the Philippines all at the same time, at the same second. God can be everywhere in as many places, touchdown in as many lives as he desires to. He is omnipresent. He is all over. And he will never, ever let you down. He is faithful. He is true. And so it's an understanding of the depths of love that God went to for us. His provision through his sacrifice showed the love that he had for us. It demonstrates the love of the Father that even Jesus would sacrifice his life to make a pathway clear and free again for us to actually have this free gift from the Lord. It's the invitational bait to draw us into the realms of the Father's glory, to give us a glimpse of what lies ahead in the glory. There is a glory realm that as believers we enter into. The world does not see it because their eyes have still scales over them. And until they enter into relationship and say yes to Jesus, there is a part of the gospel, there's a part of the kingdom that remains hidden until they decide they want to enter in and have this joy, have this love, have this fulfilled life in God through salvation. The burning love equals burning heart. You know, it says, you remember in the Gospels, I think it was Luke 24:32, that the disciples were walking along the road. I think it was the road to Emmaus. And Jesus turned up. And they said, it was like my heart burned. They knew it was the presence of God. They knew that Jesus had come. Their Savior was walking with them, and it was like their hearts were burning for passion for Jesus because he had come to walk with them and talk with them and be with them as they were on the road. There's something special about burning for God and allowing him to be in us to ignite that fire, to ignite that flame. And there is the one way that you can do that, and that is through communicating with him. He loves to talk. He loves to share. He loves to give good gifts. But we have keys given to us to unlock those doors, to allow the doors to open for us to enter in. Most of us stand at the door sometimes with a bunch of keys, and we look at the door and we think, wow, I've got the keys to this door. But you never really think what lies beyond if I open the door and step through it. And so the invitation today is, my love is so vast, my love is so great, it's unfathomable. You need to open the door and walk in through and come in and have that relationship with Jesus, relationship with the Father, relationship with the Holy Spirit. Build it with all three and see what shifts and changes in your life. He, being Jesus, loves me the same way he loves the Father. He cannot deny that he has us, even if we betray him like the disciples did. It did not change his love for him. And if you look at John 21, John 17 and verse 22 to 26. Let's just read that a second. John 17, verse 22. It says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. That's us. It's speaking about us there. We are the them. That they may be one just as we are one. So he's talking about he is giving us a gift that helps us enter into the oneness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And out of that, we gain relationship. And verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, so we've been given to Jesus by the Father, be with me where I am. So Jesus' desire is that we end up where he is, in heaven, in glory with him, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Now, if he loved Jesus before the foundation of the world, that's affirmation. He already loved us before the foundation of the world. He knew about us. He had dreamt about us. He had planned our lives. Verse 25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Wow, that is such a loaded passage of Scripture. You could take weeks and just soak in that, chew on those words, because there's such a depth in there. Even that, the fact that the Lord says, and I have made your name known to them. He's made God's name known to us out of relationship. And I will make it known. So he's affirming the fact that Jesus is going to help us come into that relationship of knowing the Father, knowing God, as we are designed to be. It's like the scales are off, folks. The walls have come down and the door has been flung wide open and the invitation is there. Come, walk with me, walk in my ways and learn from me. And so Jesus is compelled to love. He's compelled to make the Father known to us. He has made it very clear, and prayer is our connection key that unlocks the unity of love in him. So burning for Jesus, you should never be satisfied with compromise in our love for God. Familiarity with love, we end up trying to coerce God to do what we would like him to do. Whereas the relationship really is us in his hands, him surrounding us, him wrapping his wings around us. We are under his feathers. We are hidden. It's all about him protecting us. We never ever want to get to the place where we're trying to twist God's arm, say, do this for me, do that. No, it all operates and links well out of a scenario of love and bonding together. Hearts at salvation, we all know when we got saved, means if you came from a real bad place where you were really into a lot of bad stuff, when the Lord took that burden off you, you were so delighted that the Father relieved you of all the attachments that the enemy had put onto you through sin and what you had done and got up to. There is no limits that God won't go to actually bring you into relationship with him. You could have murdered 100 people and God still show up and invite you into his presence, invite you into his kingdom. That is the mystery of the gospel. Sin can be small, can be big in our eyes, but in God's eyes, sin is sin. And when he accepts you and you say yes to him, it all gets washed clean. So we don't ever want to let familiarity coast us into a place of complacency with God in our relationship. That is a dangerous place to be. Complacency sucks. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be part of it. So part of that is leading us into the place when we get this right. The whole thing is, if we can love ourselves as the Father loves us, seeing ourselves through his eyes changes that viewpoint. And out of that viewpoint, then if we can love ourselves, we will want to love our neighbors. We will want to reach out because we will want them to know about this Jesus because of his great love for us. And so if you say you love your neighbor, then why don't they know God yet? Ouch! Just throwing that one in. So identity in God. He has been and is teaching us his ways of righteousness, the right ways of God. He loves us this much to lead us in his right ways for his name's sake and for all of our good. Love our new life. Love our new identity. Love that we do with the will of God in our lives. So it's all about love. It's all about connection. And so, we got to think that when salvation came to us, the scripture is very clear in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and you are in Christ the minute you said yes, The minute you surrendered your life to him, you entered into the in place with him. The in place is the place to be. It's the connected place. It's the acceptance, the love of the Father. So it says there that if we are in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not just some things, it says all things have become new. So we got to walk in the newness and the freshness of how God has transformed us out of the old lifestyle into his lifestyle, and that we are in this journey of being changed into his likeness over, over and over again. So you cannot say that you wasted time or wasted anything that you did in your life to fulfill the will of God through your life. That is only a stance that you will get to through disappointment, hurt, and pain caused by things that have happened. You need to turn that back, flip it around again, and reconnect with the Father and get that wrong thinking out of your heart, out of your mind, and create that re-relationship again with the Father. Because those thoughts come to destroy. They are sowed in your heart and your mind by the enemy for nothing more than to take you down a road that you will go down that will not be good. They are lies from the pit of hell. There is nothing that you submit your life to do for God and you accomplish doing it that is not insignificant in his eyes. He loves it. Should you, in our thinking, say, well, I didn't really see anything happen. You don't know by obeying God what he is releasing from you that's impacting others. And we may not know some of these stories until we meet people in heaven when we get to the other side. So nothing that the Lord offers for you to take on board and do for him, and you come to the end of that season, it's not wasted time. It is never wasted, not in God's eyes. Man may look at it that way, but not God. So we want to think how God thinks. Zechariah 4 verse 10, For who has despised the day of small things? Never despise small things or not seeing things that we think we should have seen. We got to trust God that he is in control, and he's in control because we've allowed him control and we've connected with him and our heart is connected with him, and we want to stay in that place of tenderness before him so we never walk away from that. Matthew 6 verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So there's benefits of connecting with the Father, and if we take time to close the world out, close down life like this lockdown, and have this time with the Father alone with him, what we do in secret, he will reward us openly. So get ready for reward, because it's coming, folks. The 12th century monk Bernard Clairvaux has a couple of interesting statements I just thought I would bring into the mix this morning. Number one is, loving ourselves for God's sake, to be jealous to be all that he has called us to be for his sake. A little bit getting your mind around it. I'll read that again. Loving ourselves for God's sake, to be jealous to be all that he has called us to be for his sake. It's just strengthening that bond again of the link between the both of us. And the other one was, love is the fountain of life, and the soul which does not drink from it cannot be called alive. That's a powerful statement. Love is the fountain of life, and the soul which does not drink from it cannot be called alive. It's the source. We want to be drawing from the source. When Jesus met the lady at the well, he talked about the living water that he drew from the well of life and gave to her in abundance. And she received it that day. And as a result, she went back into the town and spread the gospel. She was like probably one of the first evangelist women who went out there and gathered everybody, said, you need to come meet this man, Jesus, because he knows everything, he is everything, and he is life. So that set her on fire and had her burning for him as well. John 21, this is the example I want to bring to you today. John 21 describes the disciples had gone back to their ancient ways and fishing. Verse 3 says that Peter decided, hey guys, come on, let's go fishing, because he was eager to accomplish something and had thought everything was grinding to a halt. So he thought, let's go back, go fishing. But in the story, remember that they fished all night and caught nothing. And so in the morning, Jesus turns up. Now, he didn't reprimand them and say, what are you guys up to? You know, this is the third time I've appeared to you since I've died and gone to be with the Father. But this is the third time, guys. What are you up to? Come on, get your act together. There's a job for you to do. Now, Jesus doesn't do that. He turns up and he actually refers to them in the tenderness towards them as children. He calls them children. So he is admonishing them out of relationship and saying, come on, guys. Now cast your nets to the other side. And out of that, they brought in this abundance of fish. But not only that, not only did he bless them, but he was also making them breakfast on the beach. Now, if he was angry or annoyed because they hadn't gone as how he thought they should have gone, then that wouldn't have been happening. But out of the great love that Jesus had for his disciples and for us, he was preparing them food and he was showing them how to catch, even though they had toiled all night and caught nothing, doing what he really wasn't wanting them to go back to. But even in the midst of that, he said, well, I'm going to put a blessing on you so that you know the miraculous signs and wonders that can happen when you're around me, when you follow me in my ways. So I think that was a love scenario. And then, of course, at the end of that chapter, it goes on, Peter gets quizzed by the Lord three times about, do you love me, Peter? So the challenge actually broke him, and he said, yes, Lord, you know I love me. I love you. And so it's all about the love. The love is precedent, and it's key for us to move forward. The Bible said, not the Bible says, but I said, he loves us to the end. He's coming back. There is an end, but it's not an end. It's an end in this world, but it never ends for eternity, because he's coming back for his bride, who will be pure and spotless. So we honor his investment in us by living and loving for him. So it's the best way we can do to offer back and repay for the sacrifice that he made for us, that we actually look to him, we talk to him, we coerce with him, and we actually walk life with him, and we get into a place where he really wants us to be, and that is the abundant life that the Bible speaks about. Amen. Isaiah 62 and verse 4. You shall no longer be termed forsaken. Come on. We are not forsaken, nor can we add that word to ourselves. Nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. You know, God is coming with provision. He's coming with like the big haul of fish to bless us with abundance. But you shall be called Hephzibah. Come on, call yourself Hephzibah. Say, I am Hephzibah and Beulah.
I am Hephzibah and Beulah.
Let's do it. I am Hephzibah and Beulah. Now, you all did that faithfully. Now, I'm going to explain to you what that means. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. God is delighted in us, his children. His delight is for his. Beulah means that it's a marriage name. So his delight is in us because we are actually like married in a relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We are strengthened by him. It's like Ecclesiastes 9, is it verse 9? I think it's chapter 9, verse 3, or is it not chapter 3, verse 9? The one that speaks about the threefold cord is not easily broken. Whereas I would say it's nearly fourfold, because it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and us interconnecting that forms this bond that's really hard to pull apart. So we need to be stuck in and connected and gain from the Father everything that he has for us, his blessing, his favor, and his purposes over our lives. So we walk in the ways of God. Love your Father, love him well, and he will abundantly love and bless us back. So David, even in Psalm 18, Sharon spoke about it last week in her message on Psalm 18. But David says, 18 verse 1, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David knew his walk and his place before God, and he accepted it, and he loved it, because he knew his relationship with the Father. He knew what it was like to have been brought from a shepherd boy, anointed, and placed right up as a king over the nation of Israel, and how God had prospered and blessed him out of relationship. So we should love others, shouldn't we? The Bible's clear that we love our neighbors as ourselves. So, and I said earlier, we need to learn what it is to love ourselves first, so we learn and have something in us that we can show and give away. We want to be that burning bush, that burning one that actually others are attracted to, and they want to know why we're burning, what's about us, why we're like, and that they actually want to be around us because they see, sense, and hear special things when they're around us that draws their heart, and we want to draw their heart into that relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way to get a burning heart is in connection. It's prayer. It's talking to him. It's not a burden. It's like, talk to him. You start off with 10 minutes in a day and speak in tongues. Pray in tongues for 10 minutes. I guarantee you, if you've never done it before, you'll actually find it quite a struggle to do it start. But if you keep pressing in and pressing in, you will be able to go longer and longer, because there's power in declaring through the Holy Spirit your prayers to the Lord through tongues. And so prayer is prayer, and prayer has strength in it. Prayer brings us into a place of submission and surrender. And you will find that the more time you spend on your knees with the Father, that connection grows and brings an explosion within you. It actually softens your heart. It connects you with something that is great, and you need to be connected with it. It's like, Sharon, if we actually have, not that we have, but if we were in a place where we were at a row, and we're like across the room, and we would be shouting each other, you know, and like, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Who do you think you are? And, you know, so there's this row that can happen in a relationship. But I tell you, when you come into this arena and you step into that person's circle and you're right beside them and right in their face, it's very hard to be angry with someone that you love when you're right in their space. So the next time you're thinking of having a row, or something's brewing, step right on close. That's it, Andrew and Mary. Go in right close and see how difficult it is to go down that pathway that you were about to start on. Because love wins over everything. Love is what we need, that connection with the Father, and love. And intimacy brings the change that does into our lives, so that when we're impacted, we carry that burning passion for Jesus, that we can go and impact other people's lives. Amen. I see your heads nodding. I see the agreement. Yes, amen. So hopefully that blesses you today, that we actually get to walk out before the Father as he designed, as he intended us to be. If we don't press in for it, folks, we miss something special that he has for us. And we don't want to miss anything that the Lord has for us, because he wants to bless us. He wants to be part of our lives. That integration of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in love relationship, in connection with us, little old us, but yet such glory happens when connection comes. And when we stay in connection and we focus on that connection, everything shifts, everything turns, everything changes. So I want to bless you today in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that greater connection with your God, with your Jesus, with your Holy Spirit would come. That which God intended to be I command it and I call it forth over your lives today, that you get blessed abundantly by the Father, that you know that He has plans for you. You know in your heart that even before you were born, He had a plan, a purpose, and a dream over your life. And so we pray today that you would connect more with the Lord, connect more with your heart towards your Father and towards the Son and towards the Holy Spirit. And let's bond this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we love you guys. It's been great being with you this morning again. We're just going to drop off Facebook here and come back onto screen, and we'll have a chat.